Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Chrysler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
Everyone, welcome to Cheater and the Rood. I am Jeff Chrysler, coming to you from Occupy Progressive Radio Network at the Progressive Radio Network studios. We have been at Occupy Wall Street, Occupy DC, Occupy elsewhere. Now we are back, and I am joined as always by
Lee Papa. That's me, and I'm occupying this chair.
Wow, did you get a lot of resistance from the chair?
Oh, this chair is not happy.
Oh, creaking.
Wow, that actually insulted myself. Anyway, I'm the writer of the blog, The Rood Pundit, and happy to be here with you, as we are every Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Now, just because we are taking a little break from being at Occupy someplace, Wall Street or otherwise, doesn't mean that it's over. It just means we like to take a little break just from being there. But we're still going to talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about many other things. Let's start by talking about Occupy Spokane, because I was there yesterday.
Spokane? What do they have to occupy? How could one be oppressed in Spokane?
Well, they are oppressed in Spokane. They had a lot of boom from the construction industry, which, as you know, was built on lies. Lies! They had a little tiny square of city property with three people occupying it, though they had signs for like hundreds, and apparently on the weekend there were hundreds there, actually maybe 1,000. The mayor came out, the local press has not covered it, but there was an adorable little girl with her own sign she made that said Occupy the 66, because she didn't quite get it, you know, 66 upside down 99 and Occupy.
Oh, okay. Was that real?
Because
that's just too calculatedly adorable. I think she had help from her mom.
I happen to believe, as a man who has been between age 15 and 20, that everything any female does is calculated to oppress.
Man, you know, you went sexist right away.
Is that sexist to say that women have an inordinate amount of power, and then men's hormone-addled minds at 15 to 20 confuse everything with a conspiracy until you realize?
Oh, I thought you said it was a little girl.
No, it was a little. I'm just saying, I believe, at some point in my life, I believe that all women are out to get me.
So anyway, you have been, you've been all around with the Occupies. You were at the Occupy DC thing. Was the October 2011 group there too?
No, I actually didn't see them. I saw Code Pink. I saw Veterans for Something, whatever Veterans want. I saw some young people. I saw Patch Adams, as you remember.
Yes. How could I forget Patch
Adams? I saw
Adams.
Some young kids that weren't sure what they were doing. But
does Patch Adams look like Robin Williams?
No, he's like tall and lanky. He looks more like somebody tall and lanky. He looks more like that coach of the L.A. Lakers. It doesn't do anything for you, though, I'm sure.
No, of course, yes, the
Phil
coach
Jackson.
Of the L.A. Lakers.
He looks like Phil Jackson in parachute pants.
Yes. So, what was the vibe at the Occupy DC?
It was really weird. I think we talked about this a little. It was like there was division and there was like infighting, and then there was like professional protesters and people that were there for different causes, and some dudes that just like rode a bike to hang out. And I don't know. I didn't get there on like a day of a big rally. What strikes me is the difference of the very limited Occupies I've seen versus New York is that New York is a constant buzz of conversation, and there's always activity down there. Every time we've been for the show, every time I've dropped by myself or you and I have dropped by together, like something's going on. Whereas these other places, it seems like there's placeholders until a weekend event or until a specific event.
Right, right. And although Boston, I think, has been very intense and very and has had a number of confrontations with police. Speaking of the Occupy DC, did you hear about the NPR host today who was fired from one of the two shows she hosts, Lisa Simeone, because, and that's why I asked about the October 11 group, there is another group that is affiliated with the Occupy movement that she is a part of called Occupy, that's called the October 2011 group, and that Roll Call did a story that this NPR host was a spokesperson for the October 2011 group.
So she got fired once again because she crossed an ethical line in journalism.
Yes, but let me tell you the shows she hosted. Did you know the shows she hosted?
Oh, I didn't. I don't know any of that.
You don't? She hosted World of Opera.
Hmm.
And she hosted a show called Sound Print, which does these charming audio documentaries. Like the upcoming episode has something about Sir Edmund Hillary.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's typical of the left-wing music of older eras industry to try to pre-program us, and next thing you know, the opera is getting gay married.
Yeah, I know. Next thing you know, there's like a there's like a Carmen that's done with a car man. Oh!
Too soon. Listen, the point is, she got let go, and there's even a thing, Krugman.
Well,
which one was less disturbed by her political standing, the opera or the general music one?
The general one, she was let go as host of that one, and they kept the station. It's not actually NPR itself that puts out the opera show or the other one, but they let her stay. Yeah, NPR's policy is that you cannot even go to a rally or a march that NPR covers.
I thought NPR used all of the Social Security funds to give people abortions. Am I wrong about that?
No, no, you aren't. And this just proves it. This proves that their leftist agenda. Right. Of course, you know that once this report was in Roll Call, you know who picked it up and ran with it.
The news organization that has a fox?
It rhymes with cox, exactly. It's Fox did, and of course Andrew Breitbart, big journalism.
Yeah, you know, Andrew Breitbart and Fox News and Glenn Beck, they never cross the line into advocacy whatsoever.
No, and then of course Tucker Carlson's charming little internet consideration called The Daily Caller. They all piled on, and NPR folded folded like a day old basket of laundry.
I think that they're winning. I think that the right is winning, because I'm bored, because this is the same. The story of hypocrisy just eventually gets boring. It's like, how nonstop hypocritical can you be? How nonstop lying can you be? How nonstop? Just like, I don't even want to punch him in the face anymore. Like, that's a sad statement.
You see, I think this is you giving up, man. You see, stuff like this makes me want to punch him in the face. It sort of rekindles my desire to punch them in the face. If there was no prison rape, I would be punching people in the face left and right.
Yeah.
But it's prison rape that actually prevents me from doing that.
Well, so you're saying there is a preventative deterrent effect of the justice system, although I don't think when it gets to the death penalty it really matters. But I'm not so much punching the face. I'm kind of like clawing and like grabbing their eye sockets as I fall down in a slump. Like, so there's still some effort to like inflict retributional pain on them. But
yes, look at us. We're getting violent. And you know what? The Occupy movement, it's all about the nonviolence.
We're just occupying Cheater and the Root on the Progressive Radio Network, which, by the way, I should say, it's very exciting to be back in the studio, because when we're in the studio, we can hear contributions from our Japanese correspondent. Do we have a contribution from our Japanese correspondent? A quick report?
Run! It's Godzilla!
See, it's getting violent at Occupy Japan, apparently.
Yes, Occupy Tokyo is apparently the radiation from the Fukushima nuclear plant has finally affected the occupiers.
I don't know if I've ever heard you say the word Fukushima before.
No, no. Does it arouse you?
Well, it got my interest. I was starting to snore, as I do when I hear your voice normally, and you said Fukushima, and it made me think, Lee's been reading the paper.
Apparently he read last week's New Yorker.
Zing, 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 zing. Speaking of irrelevant echo chambers, Herman Cain has a super PAC now. Does that mean we should take him serious?
Herman Cain is a super PAC? Is it just called, I'd like to think it's just called Herman, like a musical about him.
Yeah, no, but it is called Herman, but it's a picture of his mom with her arms crossed, and it's Herman.
Herman! Wow.
Too soon.
It's very hard not to. I mean, it's very hard not to imitate Herman Cain. He does have just this distinctive voice. And is it racist to imitate Herman Cain? Yes, it is. But it is.
It's
just
racist against radio hosts.
Yes, yes. And what did he say? Liberals are destroying America. So fuck that guy.
Yeah, you know, I found a new use of that phrase. Fuck that guy. I have this joke where I talk about Bin Laden smelling like seaweed, and I was doing all last week, and people go like, and I go, fuck that guy. Like, I'm not a hateful dude, but there's one person besides myself or my dad that I can hate. Let it be Bin Laden, right?
Right, right.
Fuck that
or
guy.
Or
Herman Cain.
Or
Rick Perry.
If we're speaking of dead guys.
God, you know, it slipped my mind. There's been like a whole season of the Kardashians since we last heard his name. What's the guy? The guy that's dead. What's the guy?
I'm going to go Muammar Gaddafi. Or Gaddafi. Or Gaddafi.
Or he could have been Jewish by the way he spells his names. You know that?
Gaddafi?
He missed out.
Yes.
He missed out. Yes, Muammar. The rook is dead. Long live the rook. We got him. Everyone, in case you're just tuning in now at 8-something o'clock.
And you've been blinded and deaf all day. And by the way, I'd like to thank our blind and deaf audience for having the vibrations of our show pressed against them.
They never write in to complain. Never.
So yeah, did you see any of the footage of Gaddafi?
No, I didn't. I've been running around all day.
Yeah, well,
doing other things. Tell us.
They shot the fuck out of him, and then they kind of dragged him around the street, put him in a truck, and they.
Who got him?
It was very funny. They wanted to make sure, so they took a hair sample from him, and it turned out it was a wig.
Well, only Gaddafi could afford wigs in modern Libya. So
yes, yes, but it was a huge firefight in the town in Libya, and I've seen a couple of pictures from the town, and it looks like a war zone, you know.
So who got him? How did he get
him? It was the Libyan. Well, they're not sure yet who exactly killed him. If it was his own security forces or if it was the rebels. But they killed him and there are some that are upset that he's dead, that they wanted to put him on trial and make him have to atone for all of the horrible things he did to Libya and to Libyans. But no, and then the pictures came out, he's bloody, but you know what I love is that he died getting gunned down in a battle, not like that pussy Osama bin Laden,
mm-mm,
who was just sitting there on the floor in his underwear watching TV and eating Cheetos and like, oh, and Googling himself. Oh, what are they saying about me now?
Do you think Gaddafi went out to get some Cheetos and got caught in a gunfight?
See, that would be brilliant. Oh, I shouldn't. Oh, God, why didn't I just finish my Doritos that were there? Why? Why did I need Cheetos?
See, this is sort of the problem. This is how America gets them. It's the soft diplomacy of Cheetos and Doritos, the behind the scenes. So when do we start hearing it was George Bush who got Gaddafi?
I believe I don't know. Isn't it George Bush that, he did get Gaddafi to give up, didn't he get him to give
yeah,
up pursuing nuclear weapons? Or?
Yeah, allegedly he got him to say he was giving that up.
Right, right.
I'm not saying George Bush doing anything, but I can't wait to hear about how it was the invasion of Iraq that started the dominoes that led to the Arab Spring, that led to the fall
dude,
of Gaddafi,
dude,
that led to the
spider. You're doing
the
work
spider.
For them. What the hell, man? Stop doing the work for them.
There are dudes that can figure this shit out. I'm not smarter than an average fifth grader, which is their...
Are you kidding? I mean, you know, Herman Cain has already come up with a way that he can profit on it.
Has anybody discussed Herman Cain's 999 plan and just flipped it around to 666? Is that too obvious? Am I just now?
Yeah, Michelle Bachmann did it in the last debate.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, she really
God.
Did. You just made the same joke as Michelle Bachmann.
I didn't make the joke. I asked if the joke had been made.
No.
That is the difference between artists.
That was my
artist?
Implication making
no.
the joke.
I am a comedic artist. I was investigating the canvas to see if anyone had sprayed their paint in the third dimension. And when... et cetera, time machine, Michelle Bachmann, crazy bitch. See, there's a difference between art and the other.
Anyway, so yeah, that joke's been made, and but yeah, to just to go not to gloss over the Gaddafi story, which of course is a major thing, because you know our, pretty much our entire lives, well, your entire life and virtually my entire life, it's been about Gaddafi's been in power. It's
yeah. Look, in the last little bit, Gaddafi, Hussein, Bin Laden, they gone. I mean, we didn't know about Bin Laden.
Mubarak.
All of the wrinkly-faced Middle Easterners.
Yeah, when are we going to start going after some European dictators? Like,
how about some bankers? I met an Italian guy the other day who he was on the bus, and he came to New York for 3 days, and he was taking the bus to visit the cake boss, which is another reason why I'm going to kill everybody eventually.
Wow.
But it was so
wait, the guy from Italy came. Never mind. You know?
Yeah, no, really. He doesn't need to be. Point. Guy from Italy came to visit New York. Took his time to visit the cake boss.
In Hoboken,
New Jersey. Which is going to be the end of us. It's fame, it's cake, it's boss.
Well, isn't that Herman Cain? I mean, that I love. I actually kind of love the whole Herman Cain thing. I love that his company was called THE, which stands for the Herminator Experience. And he, well, you don't see that anymore. And you know, this is a guy whose whole purpose in life was to try to make people fatter and to make people unhealthy. And when he was one of the people that was on the board lobbying board for restaurants, maybe even the chair of it, and he lobbied against higher or against lower drunk driving levels.
Look, if people want to be fat and people want to be killed in drunk driving accidents and people want to be poor, that's their choice. If they don't want to do those things, just get rich, thin, and alive.
That's
America. Like, you get out there, if you're poor, it's your fault. If you don't have a good education, it's your fault. If you don't blah 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 blue, it's your
fault.
Wait,
here's a question I have about the Herminator.
Bruh?
Are there any pictures of him actually eating the pizza? I've seen lots of pictures of him next to a pizza. Have you ever seen a picture of him actually eating a slice of Godfather's pizza?
I don't think I have. What are you implying?
I think you have your answer right there.
Does Herman not eat food? Is he not human?
No, I think he just refuses to eat greasy, fat, goo-covered dough because that shit'll fuck you up. And so he's like, "Hey man, I'll be the pusher that puts it on there, but I'm not going to touch the stuff."
Yeah, that's how drug dealers work.
Yeah.
I like to think greasy, fat, goo-covered dough is a description of Rush Limbaugh, but...
Yeah.
As he is my peer now that I'm on a radio show.
I don't know if I've said this before, but, you know, Herman Cain has killed more people, more Americans than Al-Qaeda has killed.
Dum-dum. Dum-dum.
Because he worked for Coca-Cola.
Dum-dum.
Burger King.
Dum-dum-dum-dum.
Godfather.
Herman Cain. Sharia law. That's why he so speaks out against Sharia law, because he himself is instituting his own version of Sharia law. It's some sort of clever-sounding name that is like high cholesterol law.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. The law of high cholesterol. Well, he knows how to appeal to Americans, you know? I think that the best ticket that the Republicans could have hoped for, the one that most reflects contemporary America, would have been a Chris Christie, Herman Cain ticket.
I don't know. One of them has to have real tits. I guess Chris Christie.
No, but... Chris Christie's got real tits. Did you say tits?
Yeah, I said tits.
Okay.
Like, I was thinking, I hear what you're saying. I think if Chris Christie and Herman Cain could combine into one, and then the running mate could be something to, like, football-y, lingerie football star or something, then that would be...
Oh, man. So what you're really saying is you want Kevin James and, I don't know, and Kim Kardashian. There you go, since you brought up the Kardashians before. And, you know, Kim Kardashian is really the representation of just how decadent American culture actually is.
But she's got substance. She made a sex tape. I mean, she put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah, okay. Are we really going to talk about Kim Kardashian?
No.
Do you really want to spend some time, our precious half hour every week?
No.
Do you want to talk about Kim Kardashian? Greg, do you watch The Kardashians?
I think we actually have a clip from The Kardashian. Don't we have a clip from The Kardashian? She gave a quick speech the other day from Japan. Just a quick one statement. Don't we have that, Greg? Do you have that?
One, I do watch it. And two, yes, here it is.
That was Kim Kardashian speaking about Occupy Wall Street.
So wait, Greg, you watch it?
All the time.
Do you really? So are we missing out on the... Are we just avoiding the zeitgeist? Are we just anti-American?
Yes, to put it simply, I would say yes. You need to sit down. You need to watch one of these marathons on E! You will really get sucked in. And there's a lot of deep content there. You'll learn something.
But here's the question. Is it better to watch one of those, or if you're going to go down this road, or to do a Jersey Shore, where at least you've got, like, a broad range of terrible characters, as opposed to one single note terrible character?
I can't focus on that many characters. I only have one. I have the capacity to stay on one, so I like Kim.
So he's saying that he's capable of keeping up with the Kardashians.
And only the Kardashians.
Exactly.
Wow.
Man. Yeah, so yes, we are a debased culture, except for possibly the things going on at Occupy Wall Street. What do you say to people who are critical of Occupy Wall Street, people on the left who are critical of Occupy Wall Street? How do you address that? People who think, like, the New Republic is not entirely left. It can be left-wing sometimes, but it has more or less come out. It has decided that Occupy Wall Street is bullshit. How do you address complaints from the left that this is maybe and not a valid movement?
Well, I would first ask them, how do they get to define what a valid movement is? How do you get to define it? I would say it like that. And then I would just say they're being silly. Like, the left critics are more difficult to handle. Like, I understand if their criticism is, well, you need to be organized in the face of such an organized opposition. Well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, at the same time, you need to be able to... An idea doesn't just come from a spit-out word. An idea comes from a fermented, gurgling belly of a beast. I mean, you know, birthing an idea takes some nasty work. And if this is the nasty work that goes into birthing an idea, great. So I'd say to them, fuck off and give it some time and let it breathe. Like, this is
That's interesting because, you know, there's been people like Nicholas Kristof, for instance, a New York Times columnist who at first was lukewarm about it, but now has become a great deal more enthusiastic, having gone down there a few times. What I find interesting is how much people want them to have some set of demands right off the bat. And isn't any good problem-solving process begin with you must identify and state what the problem is? And isn't that what's going on now, this sort of expulsion of anger that's been held in? And that's what the first phase of the occupation is.
Sure. It's almost a scientific approach in that you don't start with your thesis and then try to make the facts fit it. You know, it's slightly different.
Whoa. You apparently don't watch Fox News.
No, I don't. And that's a problem. Look, our constitutional Congress took many years to finally get something ratified. What did it take, like 12 years or something like that?
Yeah, but they couldn't text.
Oh, that's true. I forgot.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we're saying the same thing, that this movement needs time to be whatever it is.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I just got sidetracked with a thought of, like, somebody sending a horse to Benjamin Franklin and delivering a message that said, LOL.
Look out something.
Look out, Liberty!
Thank you.
Yeah.
I needed to do something with that joke that was relevant to the world. Now, as for the critics on the right, first of all, hilarious. I think... Having been traveling recently to hear pretty much every argument has to fall back on, well, they're smelly hippies. That's the argument against, is they're smelly. Literally, that they smell. There's one show I was listening to in Michigan where he got on a occupier who was talking very coherently and wasn't fitting any of the stereotypes he had set up for him. And he said, well, yeah, but it probably smells really bad down there, which it might. If it doesn't
Yeah, it doesn't smell great down there, but, you know, have you ever been to the stock exchange?
Yes.
If you go down there on, you know, on a nice, on a ripe day, it's pretty smelly down
there.
Smells
manly. Here's a question for you, Mr. Rude Pun, and for our listeners. Listeners, check us out at the Cheater and the Rude Facebook page and other ways. So, as I've heard criticism of Occupy Wall Street and having been there, and, of course, seeing that these knee-jerk reactions are wrong and the labels are wrong, it has given me pause.
Oh, shite!
What just happened to you? Did you just get electrocuted?
Wow, an air compressor just went off where I am.
Awesome.
I'm sorry. Can you...
We can hear the air compressor.
Yeah,
if you don't want me to have my deep thoughts because you're part of the machine that's fighting, that's fine. But
yeah,
just say
let me,
so. You walk while I ask the question. How about you... Can you walk to the place?
Wow.
Live radio, everybody. Sexy.
Live radio. This is what happens. This is what happens when you're live. So
the question is, I have been given pause to consider what I admit are my knee-jerk stereotypes to the Tea Party movement, to reconsider them, to wonder if, oh, am I just getting a filtered view of what they're about? I happen to have come, after going through that thought process, come to the conclusion I am not, and that my notions about the Tea Party are well-founded in well-documented facts as opposed to whatever's happening in criticism of the Occupy Wall Street. But it does give one pause, and I think that's an important pause for everyone to take, because I think both sides of the political spectrum here need to not just jump to conclusions about the other, which we see happening now as semi-support.
But we had lengthy coverage and exposure to the Tea Party thing.
Yes.
And by the way, I went to Tea Party events. So I didn't sit there out of ignorance and criticize them. I went to several Tea Party events and rallies. I went to a town hall where there were uproars going on. I had the TP experience, and it was a fairly repulsive display.
Yeah, I think that. Having taken the pause, I then restarted myself when I thought about it and realized it wasn't. But I think it's instructive that people take a moment to, on both sides of the spectrum, not just accept whatever filtered view of events they hear, even if it comes from their filter of choice.
You know who you sound like right now, man?
Jesus.
No. You want to know who you sound like? You sound
Herman
like Glenn
King.
Beck.
Like Glenn Beck.
You sound exactly like Glenn
awesome.
Beck.
Awesome. I'll be Glenn Beck. That dude's made a lot of money. Isn't
that
money all that matters?
Oh, he's made a trillion fucking dollars.
I will prey on the weak-minded and sell them my snake oil, because that is what has made this country mediocre.
Yes, yes. We can all thank Glenn Beck for... You know, I kind of miss him. I mean, not to get off your subject here, but...
I don't have one.
Because I agree that we can't... We need to not simply take... we can't understand the Tea Party if we only view them through the prism of left-wing blogs. But by the same token...
Or even mainstream media.
No, by the same... I disagree. I think that we had saturated coverage from Fox, and so... I believe it was incumbent upon them as an organization that supported the movement to show us what it really was. If
right.
they failed at that, then I think that's also a failure of the Tea Party movement.
Right. They could only filter out the bad to show so much good for so long. We have about a minute and a half left. This is an interesting conversation, which will invite all of our listeners to join us again next week. At 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock, here on Progressive Radio Network. You can always follow me on Twitter, at Rude Pundit. You can also download the podcast from the PRN website or from rudepundit.podbean.com.
Wow, that's a lot of words. I'm just Jeff Chrysler. I ain't get rich cheating. Lee, before we go, do we have a would you rather? We haven't done one of those in months.
We haven't. Oh my God.
Would
no.
you rather? I'll think of one half. You think of the other.
All right.
Then the world will answer. Would you rather be Herman Cain's Secretary of State,
or on bathroom on a poop troll at Occupy Wall Street.
Poop Patrol, isn't it the same thing? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Cheater and the Rude. We have been coming to you from the station of Progressive Radio Network. Every Thursday at 8 o'clock, we're here. Jeff Chrysler.
Lee Papa.
Good night. Get home safely.